What a friend we have in Jesus. Hi, I'm Pastor Darrell Bailey of People's Valley Baptist Church. We want you to come and join us at 68 Lefford Lane. Thank you for listening to our message. Our hope is that through God's Word of Truth, to build up lives into the kingdom of God. We want to make a difference in all that we do through the Word, through action, to glorify our Lord and Savior. And now, let's get ready to go into the wonderful Word of God.
Chapter 2, and stand with me to honor the reading of God's Word. James chapter 2, verse 14. I'm only going to read a couple of scriptures here for the Word of God tonight, but we'll be dealing from verses 14 through to 26. Listen to the reading of God's Word tonight. Chapter 2, the book of James, verse 14. What doeth profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You may be seated. Tonight, as we look at the precious Word of God in the book of James, you know, there's a lot of times I wondered if we were 100 miles from home with no money, no credit cards, no friends, no transportation, and no place to stay, what would we do to survive and to make it home sometimes? You know, you ever had that kind of faith? I know that each one of us have, but for the defining faith of the theme that we've been talking about here for a couple of weeks, tonight of working faith that we talk about, you know, I remember hitting black ice and Colorado one time and tore up my car. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you talk about, well, what does it take to that? Well, I had to hitchhike for a while, for one, and then I had to get the parts to fix that. And what I mean is I didn't know a soul anywhere over there. Hey, man, I just had to do the best I could. I just couldn't call a neighbor to take me down to the junkyard or whatever. You know what I mean? Have you ever thought about what would you do if you didn't have nobody, and I mean nobody, to depend on? Because, see, we have our Lord and Savior. And, you know, have you ever thought how someone comes? Because as I look at this church, and what I said earlier that I meant is this church, it backs up what it says, its ministry. I'm not here to speak about and give everybody here the big head about this. I'm just telling you simply the truth tonight about the Word of God and how this church has at heart to do what it can do in this community. And I know that to be so. You know, I was reading this week as I studied for this scripture tonight and this lesson, and I saw a story about a church that, and this is the majority of the churches you deal with today. It's a fast pace. Everything's fast paced in the world today, and I'll get in with the text in just a minute. But this was a description of one of the churches that was in one of the billboards that said this, the Light Church, L-I-T-E, light, not heavy. It's the Light Church. 24% fewer commitments, home of the 7.5 tithe, not even 10% what they're saying. You see, it says 15-minute sermons, 45-minute worship service. We only keep 8 of the 10 commandments. It's your choice. We just use 3 of the spiritual laws and everything you wanted in a church and less. Sounds like a commercial. And that's the way that it's going with the world today. They want it so fast, they don't want to take time to come in and worship God, to listen to the preached word. If we can just slice it like bologna, I know I've said that before. I'm going to tell you, there's no bologna slicing when it comes to the Word of God tonight. And I thank God, here as we see this tonight about faith. There's a lot of things that we can look at tonight, and there's three things that I want to talk to you about in the Word of God tonight and from the book of James. I want to talk to you about working faith and how that working faith, there's a big difference in it, because a lot of folks today, they're working their way to heaven. But I guarantee you, me, I'm working my way to heaven, but there's a difference between someone that is working their way literally to heaven, and that's based on their salvation. Mine is different, and that's what James is going into tonight and talking about when he deals with working faith. Now, as we look at chapter 2, just in chapter 2 alone, in the Word of God, we see faith all over this chapter. We know that James is talking about faith in the book of James. The physical brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's got the word faith in the first verse of chapter 2. He's got it in the 14th, the 17th. He's got it three times in the 18th, once in the 20th, two times in the 22nd, and in the 24th, and in the 26th verse. All these times that he's mentioning faith, he's talking about faith to us tonight. And as we look at this, I want to talk to you about the good works of the part of faith, of the inseparable part of faith, and of the invaluable part of faith tonight in the Word of God as we look to it tonight in this lesson that we talk to you about tonight. And I thank God for this opportunity to talk to you about tonight. I want to challenge you about a couple of things that the Lord really dealt with me about. You know, one of the greatest tragedies of the churches today is there's people that profess Christ and yet they don't live for Him. That is the biggest tragedy in our churches today that we face. Because there's millions that profess Christ, and they've been baptized. They've went through all of the things that they should go through. They've been confirmed. They've been made members. Their names are on the rolls of the church. But they don't follow, and they don't live Christ. They don't do those things. But you may find them. They may get up enough time to come Sunday morning because it is a thing for them to be here. Not a joy, but it is a routine. And I'm going to tell you, they don't live a pure and rich and righteous life like they should, nor do they give all that they are or reach out for the lost and the needy. They're those ones that begin to strive the two questions that come at us. In the 14th verse, he says, "What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works?" First question. Then he says, "Can faith save him?" Second question. You know, as we look at this tonight, there's so many people that are out there today that just not pure. They're dead, I tell you, in their faith and their works. You know, here, as we look at these questions, can a man have faith and not do good works? Or can faith without good works save a man, is basically what they're saying. And every thinking person, I tell you, who is honest knows the answer to these, no. I'm going to tell you. I tell you, the answer is no. Here is the curse of Christianity and of the church. Millions professing faith in Christ. They belong to the church, yet they don't live for Christ. Can you imagine how many we say that are outside the church, but how many that are in the church houses that are professing Christ, but yet they're just as lost as those out in the world? They're as busy as they can be. They're trying to do things, but there is a big difference in what they're doing. They're doing things in a routine where those that have really been saved by a saving faith, those are the people that do what they do because they love the Lord. They do it naturally. They do it from their heart. They get up and sing because it's in their heart to sing to the Lord tonight. They come here tonight to hear from God and from the Word of God because it is in their heart to come to the house of God tonight. And here is what it's going into. Here is the difference between the behavior and the speech of those ones during the week. James is asking a piercing question here. What profit is it if a man says that he has faith and he does not do good works? Or can his faith save him? You know, the facts about this is a man says that he has faith. There's a lot of folks out there today that says they have faith, but it's only who he says. You know, it does nothing to show that he really believes in Christ. Because of the fact is, he doesn't live for Christ. And this may not make a whole lot of sense to you tonight. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folks and there's a lot of denominations out there today that some denominations are cults, are based on all their working and their routine. And yes, there is work involved. But the most important thing about it is that you've got really what it means by having working faith in your life. That what you do, once you have saving faith, once you have been saved,
that what you do, listen, I'm going to tell you the good illustration here. I'll give you a couple of them in just a minute. Just like the man said, the Word of God said from James here, he says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, hey, just depart in peace, says, hey, they're knocking at your door, they come up and says, hey, I have a need, I need food, I need clothing, brother, we're going to pray for you. Brother, we're going to tell the whole church about it. And then that's all we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there ought to be something involved in a church and in the community, a church that believes in the Word of God and in the Bible. If we say that we're going to do something, and our mouths say it, then there ought to be something that backs it up, amen, that we're going to labor in the community. We're going to help when there's a need in the community like we have done, amen, as this church, and all glory to our Lord and Savior. That's what working faith is all about. Somebody else will give you a line, a one-liner, and they'll tell you, yeah, I'm saved. But when you come to them, they may want you to pray for them, but you can't pray for them. I'll get back with you. I'll pray for you later. Listen, it's a right now thing. That's what James is talking to us about tonight, amen, when he's talking about this. I'm going to tell you, the Scripture, it calls on a faith, not a dead faith, amen, tonight. Here we see in the book of James that dead faith is something that it goes comes out of this passage a good bit. It speaks of a dead faith in the 17th verse, in the 20th verse, and in the 26th. Let me read what I'm talking about. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, he says, is dead, being alone. He says in the 20th, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, he says. In the 26th, he begins to tell us again. He says what? He says, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I guarantee you, I'm glad I'm serving a living Savior. There ain't nothing dead about my salvation. It's plain, it's simple, amen. It's understandable that when there is a need, amen, I'm not trying to do it just to be doing something, but I'm doing it from my heart that with compassion, that when we see a need, that we're going to minister to them. We're going to make sure we take care of that need. If we tell somebody we're praying for them, we're going to pray for them, amen. And their names are not just on the bulletin to fill up the back of the bulletin. We're going to get down on our knees and we're going to be praying for these folks, amen. That's what it's talking about. There's a lot of routines and a lot of behaviors that are going on all over the place around here. But I thank God that James is saying, hey, look, there's a dead faith that's out there because he gave it to us in so many illustrations. We see in the verses 15 through 17, he says there's an example here of a destitute Christian believer. It's an example. It really talks about how that it rebukes us, most believers, most churches throughout the world. That it begins to go in. How that a brother and a sister faces some need or some problem, and here, to them, it is just destitute. Here, they're unable to properly dress themselves or have enough food, I tell you. That's what he's talking about in these verses. And then it sums all of this up a little bit later on. You know, I thank God here was an old Scotsman, that I was reading about, and he had an old ferry boat, and he thought one day, he says, I'll just go ahead and I'll talk about my faith a little bit. And on one of the paddles, he said, faith, and on the other one, he wrote the word works. Okay? All of a sudden, he got out there with this fella, and that fella said, what you got here? He said, well, I've got some paddles, and one's got faith on it, and the other one's got works on it. He said, let me demonstrate it for you how it works. He took that paddle with faith, and all of a sudden, he got it in the water, and he left the other one down in the boat that had works on it, and he began to row with just that one paddle with faith written on it. All of a sudden, he went around and around. Next thing you know, he dropped the pedal with faith down in the boat, and he got the other one that said works on it. He got that thing, all of a sudden it started going the other way. Wasn't going anywheres. But all of a sudden when he got both of them pedals that had faith on one and works on the other, and he got both of them in his hand, he was able to go somewhere. And I tell you, that's the way faith is. It goes hand in hand with one another. When we've got the saving grace in our lives, when we've got the faith in our Lord and Savior in our lives, what is it? Hebrews tells us it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we've got faith, I'm telling you, in our lives, we're able to accomplish something with works as well. In our hearts, amen, we can turn the water with the pedals, amen, and get down the road in the water where we need to go. And that is what he's trying to tell us here tonight in the precious Word of God, that we need to be busy, but not busy as ones that are just doing something to do something. I thank God. The Word of God tells us in Matthew the 19th, and there's these references that I'm giving you tonight. Matthew the 19th chapter, verses 21 and 22. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, as the example was of this scripture, how many of us, as we have something that we love more than our Lord and Savior? I don't care if it's the job or a better job or the best home or the best automobile. There is nothing that I have that I treasure more than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in my heart and life. And I thank God that that's what it takes in our life. Here, as we look at the Scripture, and it begins to tell us a couple of things as we look at it. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And that's what it's all about. Scripture tells us in Luke 14:23, it says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." Now that's the kind of work that we ought to have in our lives and in our vocabulary. There's a lot of work that we do. The deacons. We got the deacons in the church. The reason that the deacons were brought in because the ministers weren't able to fulfill their duties because they were having to go with the widow women and take care of those things. The deacons is very important in our church. Our Sunday school teachers, they're very important in our church, amen, to labor and to work and to build our Sunday school. Every member in this church and all of our sister churches are important, I tell you, to the work and the laboring of Jesus Christ. But he says, listen, one without the other, it's dead. I'm telling you, if you ain't got the faith and you ain't saved by God's marvelous grace, you're dead. If you got works, but you don't have faith, you're dead. And that's what he's telling us tonight, plain and simple, from the precious Word of God tonight. You know, I thank God, boy, he took some of the illustrations, and he took some of the greatest, and he took some of the not so greatest. We see here that he sums this all up tonight. He begins to give us, hey, I almost got 9 o'clock, y'all. I'm doing pretty good. Amen. I changed this one out. Amen. It's about 5 till 9, y'all. I thought you'd like that. Listen, I'm going to tell you tonight. He took the most illustrations he gives us tonight in the Word of God is he gives us of Abraham and Abraham. And we see the Word of God. He says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" He was tested. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get tested in ways that we don't understand. You know what? If the Lord permit me Saturday, He's laid something on. I've been going through my house, and I've been trying to, Lord, if there's anything in my house that ain't right, Lord, I want to get it out of there. I want to clean it up. I ain't found anything, but I'm looking. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm looking. I'm going to make sure there ain't. I'll tell you tonight. We want to walk and work and be as clean for the Lord as we can. But I thank God tonight. Here was Abraham, and he was being tested, his only son. And you know what that took? How many of you tonight, how many of you probably got 2 or 3 kids, but if you only had one kid, you know what? I thank God my mom always says, Lord, if you have to take any of my kids, you take the one that you want. I ain't got no favorites among any of them. You just take the one that you want to take if you've got to take somebody. I tell you, Abraham didn't have another, he could say that. He only had the one, and he was happy to get it. But he was tested, his faith. I tell you, that there was more to it. He wanted to say, okay, Lord, I got you back. I got the faith. I got the works and all. He had to go up on the mountain, I tell you. He had to take his only son up on the mountain of God and draw back with a knife to take the life out of his son. If that ain't works, I'm going to tell you. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's working faith right there. Boy, I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you what he said. Really gave it. I don't even have to turn to that. He told the servants over there. He told them, it's been a while since I read this. He told them in a certain way. He says, I'll be back down this mountain. Amen. He told them, we will. He says, we'll be back down this mountain. That's the faith that he had. He had some working faith, amen, that he knew that he was going up to do what God had instructed him to do. And he had faith that God would stop his hand. And he did. And God sinned and said, don't bring no harm to that son. That is faith. One of the greatest of all of the patriarchs. But then we've got here, later on, we see another one in the 25th. We see here, it talks about how Abraham was filled with the righteousness in the 23rd. But look also as it goes into the 25th. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I'm going to tell you something. She was over there in the kingdom that the spies at one time said, no, y'all can't take that. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, she had some working faith. They told her some good information. They said, you take an old scarlet thread, and you take that thing and tie it all the window posts over there. And don't you worry. Don't worry none, because I guarantee you, your whole household will be spared. Boy, here they come for them. She sent them another way so that they wouldn't discover the spies that she put up again. And here was an old low-down harlot, old prostitute, that got saved by God's marvelous grace. I tell you, there ain't nothing better of an example that James is talking to us about tonight, amen. That you've got to have what it takes, I tell you. There ain't no putting on about it. But boy, she went over there and tied that old scarlet thread on. And man, I'm going to tell you, when they begin to go around that city and the walls begin to fall, wherever they were, where that scarlet thread was, boy, I'm going to tell you, where the bloodline of Jesus, I tell you, hung out of the window post, praise God. All of a sudden, here we see everything falling down, walls that were wide enough for chariots to go across on. I'm going to tell you something. That place stood intact because God's blessings and faith was there where the scarlet thread was. Old Rahab, a no good, you can say she is an old no good prostitute harlot, but she had been saved by God's marvelous grace. She had been cleaned up, and what she was doing, it wouldn't have benefit her. She wouldn't have gotten nothing out of it, but she was doing it for joy in her heart because she had what it took. She had the real working faith that it took in her life, amen, tonight. I thank God tonight. I didn't go the way I said I was going to go, church, but don't hold it against me, amen. But I believe what I said is the word of God and what He's given me tonight. All the controversies that you've heard out of the book of Galatians in comparison, third chapter of the book of Galatians in the 11th verse, and all about Galatians in the 2nd. Listen, it complements one another. There's no controversy at all, amen. You've got to have salvation, and works without salvation, I'm going to tell you, is dead. You've got to have something that goes to it. Hey, you know what? I guarantee you, somebody's watching your life, or somebody's watching my life, but I guarantee you, when somebody gets saved here and they come down to the altar, I tell you, I can't help but watch their life. And I tell you what I saw of where the ones that got saved, where I see some working faith involved. I see something in there that they want to help somebody. I saw that, amen, with my eyes. I don't know what you saw, church. I'm going to tell you, somebody that wants to make a difference in somebody else's life, that's what it's all about tonight. And that's what James is trying to tell us about, amen, tonight. And I tell you, when you see the difference in that type of faith, faith without works, I'm going to tell you, one can't have works without faith. They complement one another. They do not contradict one another. You ain't got to go about and say, Paul said this and James said this. Uh-uh. They complement one another tonight. And I thank God for that tonight, every one of us. Old Sam Jones one time, I'm going to close out with this. Old Sam Jones said this. Y'all know about Sam Jones. Again. Sam Jones used this illustration one time and he said this. He says, I'm going to go chop me some wood. But when they went over to look at him, he was sitting over there with his legs crossed and he had the axe. They wouldn't know chips of wood anywhere at all. And you know, they were saying, well, you're not chopping any wood. And he said, well, I'm waiting for a sweat to come upon me first and then I can start working. And you know that ain't so. But he used this illustration to illustrate. He said, the sweat will help me chop the wood. But you know what? Faith will not get the job done. It must be followed by works. You see what his point is? I can say that I'm going to do something. You can have faith in it, but also you have to have works with it as well. I'm going to tell you, the two are inseparable. I can say I'm going to do something or minister something, but listen, I might have the faith, but I also got to put something with that. I've got to do something with God's blessings, with His guidance, with His direction. I want to say this in closing real quick with this. I want you to remember the many in our church and the other churches that have this type of faith, that is a faith that is really not faith at all. It should be a working faith, but it's just a routine behavior. And when they come to the house of God, time and time again, that's all that it's about. It's nothing but emptiness. I want you to help me pray for those people. I call them Christians, but they're not Christians tonight. I'm not being judgmental tonight. I'm just stating exactly what it is tonight from my heart. Every one of us, we ought to set goals to be able to have working faith. And this is how I'll close it out tonight. Setting and reaching goals is a good way to show working faith. And this is from Charles Stanley to you tonight, amen, that I share this with you tonight. Charles Stanley says this. This is what you got to have to set that goal and reach it tonight. There must be a clear picture. There must be a consuming desire, a confidence in God and yourself, and a course of action, a calendar of events, a cooperative spirit, a consistency, and a controlled set of emotions, a courage to act, and a consciousness of dependence on God. And that is what it takes to be able to set a goal and to be able to accomplish it. Every one of us, what is it tonight? What do you want to accomplish before this week is out? Some of you say, well, I want to get my grass cut. I want to paint the house. I want to put some flowers out for the fall. But listen, what do you want to accomplish before this year is out? That's the question that I want to leave you with tonight. Church, what do we want to accomplish? We've heard some tonight. We want to get our Sunday school. We want to get some more deacons, I tell you. Well, we want to get stronger in our church. I'm going to tell you, let's pray about it tonight. And let's have that faith that works, that faith that gets out of visitation, that faith that goes and that it does. But listen, it's not so busy that it's so busy that it's not true. Because it is something that is real. And it is a desire that is in your heart that God has put there tonight. And that, I believe, is simply what James is trying to tell us tonight. Is even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. This is what he's saying tonight. But if thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Tonight, church, we've got to surrender our lives to the will of God to be able to know and to be at that present time in our life today. We've got to surrender that to Him tonight. Every one of us have that purpose in our life to ask God, I tell you, to show us, I tell you, the purpose for our lives as well. That divine guidance that He gives us to ask, God, what do You want me to do? What do You want me to accomplish in my goal, I tell you? To divide the areas and to separate the time. And Lord, I'm speaking to myself tonight as well of how our time wisely. Yes, I believe we ought to not be as wasteful and slothful with all the things that we do as well. To deal with each area that needs to be dealt with in our lives today with the discernment that we should have and to revise and to restate those goals that we need to do and to check and to see those things and those goals that we want to accomplish tonight. Church, that's how we can do it tonight. And we can win lost souls. And we can be working with a working faith that is the correct faith that I believe every Christian ought to have in their walk, in their Christian walk of life today. I thank you for being here tonight. I won't say I'm closing again, amen, because that is wrong. Amen. Any words before we dismiss tonight?